this morning. He'll put up the slide in a second. There's just one slide this morning, and it's called Breaking Through. And I feel like the Lord, he's highlighting that that today is a day of actual breaking through. And we've contended for breakthrough, right? So I don't know how many times I prayed for breakthrough for somebody, but I felt like the Lord is saying we're entering a new season where we're actually breaking through, and that we're no longer contending, and we're moving into the actual crossing that finish line and seeing things come to pass that are supposed to come to pass. And so I'd like you to think about 2017, right? It's December 10th. So think about this year. And think of the prophetic words or anything that God sort of spoke about this year for you personally or for those around you that you love, right? He speaks. He says, this is going to be a year of blank. You fill in the blank. This is going to happen this year. And now it's December 10th and you're sitting here and maybe that has fully come to pass. Or maybe you're like, I'm still waiting to see it. I felt like for me this year, God said two things. He said it was going to be a year of increased power, and it was going to be a year of abundance. And, you know, it's been amazing in terms of seeing increased power released. So me and Rodney, we do the Freedom Dispensers thing on Thursday mornings, and we do a thing of the Redwood Gospel Mission. And I think it's been amazing to see the increased level of power that has been released, but it hasn't happened in the same way that I thought it was going to happen, in the sense that I felt like God said, as he's walked with me this year, it's been really about growing in my authority as a result of my conviction about identity. And so as I've embraced the truth of who I am as a son of the living God, he's expanded my belief of who I really am in him as a co-heir with Christ and a warrior. So when I pray and release, there's such a greater level of confidence and power that flows through that. And obviously we have the test. We've seen cancer healed this year. We've seen other ailments and sicknesses go. Like, we've seen these amazing things that have happened through different levels of ministry. But I would say that the greatest way that I've seen power increase in me this year is stems back to my convictions now about my identity that shifted throughout the course of the year. Does that make sense? In terms of abundance, it's not like we haven't gone to places this year with like, how are we going to do this, right? And even now, we're in a situation, we're facing things. And the reality is that God has been faithful every single month to provide above and beyond what we need and to meet every single thing. And he's done it in so many radical, creative ways. I love Paul's testimonies this morning, because sometimes it seems so natural. It's just this little thing that happens. And sometimes it's the supernatural phone call or the thing in the mail or that kind of thing, right? And there's just been an increased level of abundance that we've seen. And yet the reality is, I stand here December 10th, I know there's more. I know that there's a greater level of power than, like, when I got that word in January, I felt like there was going to be even more than what I've experienced to this point today in both of those areas of power and abundance. And I felt like the Lord said today is to look at and to explore for ourselves, for yourself, what have you been contending for? And so as you sit here on December 10th, right? There's 21 days left in the year. And you could say, well, I guess if God was going to do it, he probably would have done it by now for 2017. Right? And so you've already moved on. Okay, I guess it's going to happen in 2018. And yet the reality is, today's a good day for a miracle. Today's a good day for breaking through. And maybe... just maybe the previous 344 days that have happened this year, they've been preparation for the goodness of God manifesting in that particular area of your life that you've been contending for today. Does that make sense? Right? Let me give you an example of this. One of my favorite ministries here at Grace is this thing that we developed a few years ago called Breakthrough for Business. And we've taken pastors, sort of a business pastor, and we've aligned them with some of our business leaders within the congregation. And they've asked for, okay, I would like a business pastor. And really all it is that the pastor is connecting with them on a regular basis, monthly basis, sometimes more. And they're listening to God for strategy and wisdom and just ways to contend. And then they're also, they have time of connecting to hear what's happening within the business and how can we support through prayer and intercession to see things open up. And one of the businesses that I've been fortunate enough to be the business pastor with for a while, me and Rodney actually on one of our Freedom Dispensers times, I got this word to go there to do a prophetic act. And you see this guy breaking through the sort of finish line tape on the screen, if you're listening on the podcast. And basically, we felt like we were supposed to create an artificial finish line, and that the business owner was supposed to run through that line. And it was going to be symbolic that as that business owner ran through the line, he would start seeing the breaking through, right? Than what he's been contending for years. And after we did that prophetic act, so they were willing to do it, this business man and his partner, and they ran through the finish line, and it was a fun little experience. And yet, the reality is, that was about 6 months ago. The level of business that has grown in that past 6 months for this particular business is off the charts. And what this one particular business owner told me yesterday, or the other day, was that probably in the month of December, they will make more profit in sales in this month than they did all of last year, 2016. That's our God, right? And, you know, it's not like a mysterious, okay, do the prophetic act and then everything happens. But there is something about partnering with what God is saying and what he's doing. Right? And it sort of, I think I love that testimony because it felt like it happened immediately. That things started clicking, boom, 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 once that prophetic act happened. Okay? Jesus is the God of breakthrough. Like, think of Christmas. Jesus, the Son of God, coming, manifesting on us, breaking through into humanity, right? Into our midst. And what does he bring? Right? He's revealing the Father's heart. He's paving the way for us to receive salvation and intimacy with God. Abundant life. That the measure of life that was experienced before Jesus came on the scene was nothing, pales in comparison to what we can have in terms of intimacy and abundant life with him today. Because God broke through into humanity and said, I'm going to be here with you. God with us, Emmanuel. Right? It's who he is. And he's still present with us. And even with the Holy Spirit, obviously, it feels like it's even more, right? Because now he lives inside of you. And we talked last week about the fullness of God being inside of you. That fullness of righteousness, peace, and joy. You have 24/7 access to the fullness of those qualities of God, right? You don't need to pray for more. You just need a greater revelation of what's already inside of you, right? Because Jesus broke through. We're going to spend our time this morning looking at Mark chapter 5. And if you have been a Christian for a while, these are going to be really familiar passage stories out of Mark chapter 5. And there's three, sort of built into the chapter, there's three stories. And every single one has to do with breaking through. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to break it up into three sections. The first is verses 1 through 20, and it says this. It says, they came to the other side of the sea, the country of the Gerasenes, and when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding. And the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. So think of this. The demoniac is at the Gerasenes, and he is not expecting Jesus to show up on the scene. He's been chained up and living alone because he cannot function within the society of the region that he's in. And every time they chain him, he breaks the chains. He's cutting on himself. He's doing unthinkable things. And nobody knows what to do with him except Jesus. Jesus cuts across this lake. And the only thing he does on that side of the lake is he has this encounter with this man. He broke through to this man in ways that nobody else knew what to do for this man. Right? He sets the man free. So think about for a second all of the people that you've been praying for and contending for who don't have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe they're the ones in your life that say, you know, we don't want anything to do with that Jesus. And their life is a mess. It's a wreck, and they're caught up into all sorts of things, whether that's addiction or depression or relational issues and hard things. And no matter how much you love them and try to reveal and release the love of Jesus into their lives, they're like, no, thank you, if they say it that politely, right? Like there's a sense of like, we don't want your God. Legion, this man with the legion, he didn't even know about Jesus. It's the spirits inside of him that recognize Jesus. But this man had no awareness of who this Jesus was, right? He didn't even know to ask for Jesus to come. There wasn't like, oh, he sent a message and that's why Jesus came. But Jesus, the living God, got a download from heaven that there was a man who was desperately needing to be set free. And that's our God who would go to pursue the one who needs to be set free. And he's more than capable to release the power and authority to set this man free. And the man would never be the same again. I think one of these areas that feels, we've been sort of looking at it as a house, is a lot of our children, some of you with adult children, they're not really walking in the fullness of the destiny that you know God has said and spoken over their lives. And so as you sit here at the end of another year, December 10th, 2017, you may have thought this was going to be the year that everything clicked. This was going to be the year that they got the revelation from heaven and everything shifted for them, right? And the reality is that today God wants to pour fresh hope that Jesus is the pursuer. He will never stop pursuing, no matter how many roadblocks he has to go through, no matter how many times a person says, I don't want you, he will still stay present pursuing. He'll never force himself on that person, but he will not stop pursuing. It's just who he is, right? And so I'm just going to pause and we're going to pray for our loved ones real quick who fit this category. So Jesus, you know every person that's here and you know the ones that they've been contending for, that those their friends and their loved ones would experience salvation and intimacy with you. And especially those dear children that have known you and yet they've walked in a different direction. Then we just declare that you're the God who will not leave them there alone, that you will never leave them or forsake them. You will always press in. You will always pursue. And you know exactly what's necessary in order to draw them back. And so we just ask today, Lord, would you do a mighty miracle today that there would be testimonies that come forth from this day of you breaking through into their reality and revealing the truth about who you are in a way that they can see and experience and hunger and thirst for more of you. That it would be a surrendering happening because of your pursuit on behalf of these ones that we've been contending for this year and maybe even years. But we say, Jesus, it's not too late for 2017. It's not too late for you to show up on the scene. And we celebrate the preparation and the things you've been doing leading up to this point. And we give you glory, huh? And with thanksgiving in anticipation of what you're going to do and how we're going to see the manifestation of the goodness of God in the land of the living on behalf of these loved ones. We ask that you would seal it today in a powerful, significant way. Show. All right. The passage continues, and the next chunk we're going to look at is 21 to 34. And it says, when Jesus crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. And then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet, begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And so he went with him. And we're going to pick up Jairus in a minute. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And immediately, aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." All right. So we have two breaking throughs at the beginning of this little section, right? So Jesus gets back to the other side of the lake, and there's a whole crowd that's gathered around him. And Jairus, who's desperate because his daughter is dying, breaks through into the crowd to get to Jesus and says, "Can you help me? My daughter's dying," right? Think about if you ever had a children who's on the brink of death, the child who's on the brink of death, you'll do whatever you can, right? You're going to go to do at great lengths to get your child cared for. Jairus didn't know what else to do, but he knew that Jesus was the answer, that Jesus could do something in the situation. And he breaks through the crowd to get to Jesus and asks the question, "Will you come and help my daughter?" And Jesus says, "Yes." And so now you have this massive crowd that's going to see what's going to happen with Jairus' daughter. And in the midst of that, you have this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, which is unthinkable to me, right? And yet everything physician she's gone to, it doesn't work. She spent all her money. She's paid all this stuff, and nothing is working. And yet she gets this connotation just because she heard about Jesus, something about Jesus. She never had an encounter with Jesus before, but she heard about Jesus. And she felt like she knew if she could just touch his clothes, she would be made well. And so she breaks laws, religious laws, cultural society laws to break through the crowd. Because in the process of breaking through the crowd, she's making every single person unclean, right? We know this story, right? And yet she risked her life, ultimately, to break through the crowd just to touch his cloak. And as soon as she does, she's completely healed. Right? There's something significant about that breaking through connotation, that she breaks through, touches the cloak, and her life is forever changed. And the beauty of it is that Jesus recognizes, hey, some power just left me. And in the process of him recognizing that and going through his disciples' questions, right? Like, what are you, crazy? Right? Of course, everybody's touching you right now, right? The reality is he stops, and then as he stops and encounters this woman, he brings not just physical healing to her, but emotional and social and spiritual healing to this woman who has been under a curse for 12 years, an outcast in society for 12 years, right? Think about, I have a 12-year-old at home. I can't imagine his whole life. What if he was an outcast And every time he had to walk somewhere, he had to yell, "Unclean, unclean." And he always had to walk on the other side of the street. That'd be horrible. 12 years, right? It's amazing. And in an instant, there's breakthrough, right? In an instant. And it took her faith to break through. Jesus wasn't pursuing her. Do you see that? In a sense, he is, right? He's always after doing what the Father says to do, right? But it took the woman breaking through into him. And you see the love and compassion of the Father's heart for this daughter, right? As healing is released, right? It's powerful to me. Many of you, as you sit here this morning, you wrestled with chronic illness. You've had things that you've been battling for years. Some of you, it's just been within this year, or there's things that you just got diagnosed with, right? And others, it's been years of waiting for the promise of healing, right? By his stripes, we are healed. We have a promise we can access. And as you've contended and contended, and you've seen maybe minimal growth or no growth at times, or sometimes it gets worse, right? You're still holding on to the promise that you know Jesus is the healer. And that the current state of life that you're living and experiencing is not the abundant life that he promised in your physical body. I felt like the Lord wanted to release fresh faith and hope in the God who will stop everything for you. That Jesus is on the way because a little girl is dying. And he stops everything for this woman. So that she could be made free, set free, and made whole again. And Jesus loves you that much that he would stop everything for you. You're that significant. And so we're going to pause and pray for that. So Holy Spirit, you know every single person that's in this room and those that are listening on the podcast. And you know the chronic illnesses that they've had and the sickness and disease and different things that they've wrestled with over this year and the past years. And that they're clinging to a promise in you. They haven't stopped pursuing you because they know that you're the only answer. You're the healer. And I celebrate the truth that you are the God that stops for the one. You are the God that ceases everything else and says, I'm going to focus really intent on you. Because you are the God who releases not just physical healing, but emotional healing, spiritual healing, social healing. Like there's a sense of all you want, the full sozo healing being released into lives. And so I lift up my brothers and sisters that are in that state this morning as they sit here. And I ask Jesus that you would increase a fresh measure of hope and a fresh measure of faith today, that December 10th, right, that the year's not over, that it's not too late, that for the promise to be fulfilled this year for their healing, because the healer is alive and well. And the healer not only is able, but he also cares and has compassion. And so I just release a fresh wave of healing across this congregation this morning, Lord. Would you touch those people in significant ways that it would be remarkable the amount of testimonies that come forth from today because of breaking through into all of what you said and declared and who you are. And we just give you the glory in advance, Jesus. And we celebrate with thanksgiving the good work that you're doing today in Jesus' precious name. So the passage continues in Mark 5, verses 35 to 43. And it says, while he was still speaking, people came from the leader's house, so Jairus' house, to say, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means little girl, get up. And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. And he strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Do not fear, only believe. Nothing's impossible with God. Right? Was resurrection power common at this point? No. Right? It's the first person that Jesus raised from the dead. This little girl. Right? Amazing. So, when Jairus comes and his little girl is dying, there's a lot of faith. Because Jesus has been proven to heal people. And so that's a category in their minds. Jesus can heal. And so my little girl is dying, there's still hope. When the others come and they say she's dead, what do you think happened for Jairus? All that measure of hope, gone. Right? Because they hadn't seen it. Was there resurrection from the dead in the Old Testament? Yeah, but really few and far between. It wasn't a common practice. And yet Jesus simply says to Jairus, don't fear, only believe. He wouldn't have told him not to fear unless Jairus started experiencing fear in that moment. He just found out his little girl died. His 12-year-old, right? Think about it. And yet Jesus says, it's okay, let's keep going. Jesus was after breaking through something different. It wasn't just to bring healing back to this little girl. It was to bring breakthrough in terms of a mindset, right? That resurrection from the dead is possible. That there's nothing impossible with the living God. That when Jesus shows up on the scene, anything can happen, right? Just believe. And so he releases resurrection power to this little girl and says, she gets up and eats, right? It's as if nothing ever happened. And some people, they question, like, oh, she was just sleeping, right? No, she wasn't sleeping. She died, right? I heard a couple testimonies from Russia this past week from Dan McCullough. He's over at the mission, pastor there, one of the pastors. And they did a mission trip to Russia. And one of the things that happened on that trip was they were doing ministry to pastors in different cities within Russia. And one of the words of the Lord that came was to develop a covenant with these pastors that each one would go and pray for 100 people who had died for resurrection from the dead. Within the first 12 hours, one of those pastors was driving home, I guess, from the conference, and there was a car accident, and there was a person pronounced dead on the side of the road. So he thought, well, I got to start my list, right? So he prays and just releases healing and resurrection into this person's body. Boom, fully alive. 12 hours from when this happened, that testimony spread across Russia to another region. And a person who wasn't even at the conference grabbed that, and they saw as they were walking down the street, there was a man who was kicking another man. That man was lying on the ground, and this guy was kicking. He thought, I need to go break this up. He realizes the guy was kicking him because he was trying to find out if he was alive or not. And they found out that the guy had overdosed, and he was dead, had no pulse or anything, sitting there on the side of the road. So this other pastor prays for this man. And in an instant, his artery in his neck, they said it just popped out like it started beating again. And that man was completely restored to life. So within 24 hours, there was two resurrections from the dead in Russia that came out of this word that there was going to be a massive wave of resurrection power released in this nation. Right? That's our God. Jesus broke through their mindsets of what was possible, and he blew it out of the water, right? There's this sense of, shoo, more than you could ever imagine or expect. But we get sort of complacent, right? We go through our norms, and year after year, we get the same results or similar results, and we think, oh, that's what it's going to be. And yet, Jesus shows up on the scene, and he's still doing it today to say, wake up, church. Wake up. I'm still the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I will be the same God with the fullness of power to be released into your lives and through you into the lives of those around you, right? And so some of us are faced with scenarios in our lives today that that it just doesn't seem likely that it's going to happen. Especially it's not going to happen the rest of this year, right? It's December 10th. If God was going to do it, he would have done it by now, right? There's even people around us, like, that they look at our lives, they know the things we're contending for, and they're sort of like, yeah, it's probably not going to happen. You know, you should just move on from that. Like, look at something else, another area maybe. That one's probably not going to happen. And we get people saying those things to us. And I felt like God said that he wanted to release resurrection power to your hope this morning. That in any place where you have had hope and you see that it has waned, and that because of the natural order of circumstances and things that it just doesn't seem like it's happened up to this point, that your hope has started flaming. And he wants to release fresh hope today. And so I'm going to pray for you guys who are in that situation this morning. The truth is there is nothing impossible with God, and he is the one who makes a way when there's seemingly no way. And so, Jesus, I lift up anyone who's here this morning or listening on the podcast, who, because they've held on to this promise and that they're faced with this impossible circumstance, and it just doesn't seem like there's any movement or things happening towards it, that their hope is starting to get sucked away from them. It's the strategy of the enemy. And I just breathe life back on that hope. And we just say, resurrection power to the hope of the truth that nothing is impossible with you. And that you are on the move. That even when Jairus gets the report that his daughter is dead, you don't stop moving towards her. But that you're more than capable that with a word you release power and life that this 12-year-old rises from the dead. Her life is forever changed and transformed. And the reality of resurrection power being released in the land of the living is shifted forever. Thank you that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for the resurrection life that happened in Russia this past week or a couple weeks ago. Right? We give you glory. It's who you are. It's what you do. And so even when we're faced with an apparent death, we don't lose hope because we believe in the living God who never dies. And so we give you glory and ask, Jesus, that you would touch each one of those circumstances and situations and just breathe fresh hope into it today. Your sons and daughters this morning, Jesus. Thank you that it's not too late to see the answer manifest, your goodness manifest in 2017. And we give you glory in that, Jesus. Have your way. Ha. Amen. All right, how are we doing time? We got 10 minutes. Okay, so the truth is that Jesus is the answer. And we're going to do a couple things. I know last week we broke up into pairs and we had you guys pray. And I felt like God wanted to do that again this morning in this area. And some of you, I know that's uncomfortable, right? It feels like, I don't want to come to church and have to interact with people. Not kidding, right? But it is that thing, right? But God says we're supposed to be alive and active. And that as a family that's fighting and contending for one another together, that we need to shake it up a little bit and to say, I'm going to bleed for you. I'm going to contend for what you're contending for. Even if I don't see the breakthrough in my life, I'm going to lay down my life for what you're contending for. And vice versa, right? That's what family does. And so I'd like you to find a partner real quick. Ideally, it would be just two for the sake of time. So move around. You guys can move around. Find someone, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do. It's not going to hurt. All right. Everybody got a partner? All right. If you're married, you probably already know this, but it doesn't mean you don't have power to declare the truth, right? So even if you're still with your partner, this is a day of declaring. And really, all we're going to do today is they may share with you one thing or a couple things that they're contending for breakthrough. You're going to declare over them the breaking through, right? So you're not going to spend time praying over the specific situation, but you're just declaring that this is the season of breaking through for this person. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's go. We're just going to take a couple minutes. And so one person contend and then the other contend. All right, let's go. Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing right now. And we declare over each one of your sons and daughters that is here today and listening on the podcast that they are moving from a place of contending for breakthrough to breaking through. And we give you the glory in that. Praise you for the ways that they're going to start seeing those things manifest this week. Even today, that there's a shift that's happening because the goodness of God is present and alive. Huh. And so, Jesus, we give you glory in that. Yeah, amen. There's 21 days of possibility left in 2017. 21 days. A lot can happen in 21 days. All right, think about it. I felt like God wanted to close with this. That I felt like I was supposed to declare four things over you. The first is this, that you were created to rest in his goodness. And so I just declare that each of you is more than capable of resting in his goodness because you were created to rest in his goodness. You're actually really good at resting in his goodness. And so, I just declare, you, fill in your name, are really good at resting in his goodness. Yeah. The second is this. You have eyes to see what he is doing. And so I just declare over you today, each of these sons and daughters has eyes to see what he is doing, right? Even if we don't see everything, we see what you are doing today, that this day, December 10th, there's going to be some movement in each of the things that you're contending for. It might be like we've been contending for our friend Norbert, right? On Thursday, he was able to move his arm for the first time after the stroke. It's a minor little thing, and yet it's a huge miracle. Because the day before, he couldn't move his arm. Does that make sense? We're going to celebrate what God's doing and have eyes to see that. And in the midst of the Thanksgiving, we know it just ushers in the more. Anyway, it's what God does. So just again, I declare that you have eyes to see what your living God is doing in your situation. The third is you have courage to partner with what he is doing. Like the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, she had courage to break through the crowd because she had a belief that if she just touched his clothes. And for some of you, you've been given a strategy of how to handle the battle you're facing or the situation that you're engaged in. There's a strategy that he's given you, but it takes courage to step into it. And so I just declare over you this morning that you are courageous because he created you that way to partner with him in what he's doing. And then the last one is that you have faith in his faithfulness and his love for you. That there's an increase. And so I declare of an increased faith for his sons and daughters today in his faithfulness and his love for you personally. He's faithful to you. He's not just faithful in idea or theory. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to me. He loves you. He's not just love, and it's this big thing out there. He's actually really personal. He loves you intimately. He knows everything about you, and he loves you. And he wants you to grow in the ways that you need to grow because he cares about you. And the truth of this declaration is that there's an increase of faith coming to you today. And so I just declare that and release that over you. Increase faith for each one here in his faithfulness and his love for you personally. Huh. Amen.